but when I preach, I'm just looking for a little confirmation every once in a while, amen. And so I'm just looking for some folks to give me a amen here and an amen there, all right? So that just encourages me, amen. And so, and you notice I say amen a lot too, amen. So, if I had some money, I would pay you at least $1 for everybody that said it. But we're as you know, missionaries don't have a whole lot, amen. And especially we're spending a lot of money on our building. I think Millstone here has been supporting us, probably Brother Butts and Brother Matt, for over 20 years. And in that time, we started three churches in the city of Camden area. And the third one here, which is Inner City Baptist Church, is a building that we have. And I believe last time I was here last year, we had to get siding done and those sorts of things. And so we finished all the siding. We finished everything on the outside, new sidewalks, parking lot. We had to put up fencing around the area. And so we did all of those things. Now we're working on the inside of the building. And we pretty much have the sanctuary finished. Now the sanctuary, we had to have plans for everything we done in the sanctuary, was not on the plan. So we went on and we did that. We removed the panel. We had new panel put in, meters. They came by last week and inspected all of those things, and they passed them. And so we already did the grid for the drop ceiling, already started putting the lights and stuff in. And so probably in the next month, I would be safe to say, that our sanctuary would be complete. The final blessing for that was I got a call from a fellow who helped churches get started and asked me, could we use any carpet? And I said, yes, we could use carpet. Then he told me they were a little square carpet. And I'm like, I don't know if I could use that, brother. But then as I was going around preaching at different churches, I noticed a lot of churches now are using these little square two by four inch carpets that they're using. And it was brand new, and he sold us, and he sent us over 4,000 square foot of carpet, which is going to do the whole sanctuary and then other places as well. And so prayerfully, by next month, our sanctuary will be complete, and then we can start working on our bathrooms. If you know somebody that's a good plumber or whatever, please let us know. We need to put in two drains, and so we could do the handicap bathroom. The structure and everything is already there. We have one drain on each men and woman bathroom, but we need to put at least another one on each one. And the plumbing and everything else is pretty much there. It just needs to be tied in. And so if you know somebody that does that, please let us know. It's been since 2012 that we bought that building, haven't gotten in there as of yet. And it costs us $6,000 a year every time we're not occupying that building. It's already zoned. It's already has tax exempt status, but it won't take effect until we're actually occupying the building. And so just keep us in your prayers, if you would. I talked to the preacher yesterday, and just to find out what time that I needed to be here. And he told me, I thought about coming back just to hear you preach. Not to hear me preach, to hear me preach, to make sure I wasn't saying anything wrong, amen? Then he thought about it and said, nah, you'll be all right. So, Brother Bill and I are really dear and good friends. And, of course, Brother Butts and Brother Matt and his dear wives have been such a blessing in our ministry. We appreciate them so much. And I haven't seen some of you here for the first time. I know my man in the back there. I think this is your second time here, you said, right, sir? Your first time, your wife was here last, all right? And so some of y'all, I move up and down the aisles. I know this is his first time. And so I do a lot of spitting too, amen? And so I don't think so y'all are really in trouble, y'all two up here, all right? All right, but I'll tell you this, the spitting is anointed, amen? And so if you catch a little bit of it, it's all right, amen? That lady sitting over looking at me like, I hope you don't spit over here. Hey, do me a favor, open your Bibles with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Now, I would say this to you, and some of you folks know already, that I said a long time ago, if we as preachers can get up and prepare messages, sometimes we stay up late at night and stuff like that. One of the things that I said I'm never going to do is I'm never going to allow anybody to go to sleep on me. All right? So, in saying that, if I see somebody dozing off, you might hear me say, stay with me now. All right? But don't y'all look around to see who it is, all right? And one of the things that we also allowed that this I allow you to do is if you have a cell phone, all right, you can turn it on, all right. So if you need to get a call or something like that, you could turn it on. But you know, it's always, you know, a but. If it goes off, and I know this is a mission-minded church, you're going to have to put at least $5 in the offering plate for missions, amen? So I hope everybody's phone goes off, brother, amen? Now, you know what happens when that happens. Everybody starts, I want to make sure my phone don't go off. That's the first thing that we did. Now, my dear friend, Brother Butts and Brother Matt and their wives, they know maybe some of the other folks in here. Some of y'all remember Pete Vico, who's now gone home and be with the Lord. Well, Pete Vico came over and worked with us, and when we first made this rule, that's what we was going to do, and it's a Wednesday night, and I always carry my phone because I would say I'm not worried about it. Everybody know. Now I say this bragging on the Lord because Lord has allowed me to do this. In 28 years, I have never missed a Sunday service ever. On vacation or whatever, I still make sure I go to church, and so people know where I'm at on Sunday mornings. On Sundays, period. People know where I'm at on Wednesday. I don't have to turn my cell phone off, so I kept it right in my pocket. And I'm up there getting ready to teach. It's about 10 minutes after 7. And bam, bam. I'm looking around, everybody like, and I'm like, whose phone is that? They said, that's yours, preacher. And it was Brother Pete Vico telling me, brother, I'm not going to be there today. I think he set me up for failure, brother. That's the only time that's ever happened. And of course, they wouldn't let me put $5 in. They made me put 10 in. And they made sure I did it. They said, here you go, preacher, put it in there, you know. But so that's the only time that we really has had that problem. Hebrews chapter 5, I'm going to read the first 9 verses of Hebrews chapter 5. And after I get there, Brother Matt, would you pray for me, brother? Hebrews chapter 5, starting at verse 1. The Bible says, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for man in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. For that he himself also is compassed with infirmities, and by reason thereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sin. And no man taking his honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And as he saith also in another place, thou art my priest, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Who in the days of the flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong cry and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard that he feared, Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obeyed him. Brother Matt. Amen. Thank you so much. I titled this, Do You Tear Up? Do you tear up? Now, when I was a little boy, I was a real sensitive little boy. Now, it's amazing how that changed for me, because some of you guys know and remember my history in streets of Philadelphia. I was a terrorist. All right, in the sense that I stole, I robbed, I did all of those different things. I used to be from a gang called Morocco's, which was located around 20th and Poplar, right there where Eastern State Penitentiary was. And so that's the area that I came up. But as a little boy, when I was about 5 and 6 and 7 years old, I was a real sensitive and a timid little boy. And every time my dad would holler at me, I would start to cry. And he would get upset with me and would say, boy, men don't cry, boy, men don't cry. Wipe them tears away. And I would, and I would try to get it together, amen. And then I got to the point in my life where no matter what went on, I wouldn't cry. And then they started to say to me, my uncle now would say, boy, that boy never cries. That, no matter what, if I fell or whatever, I didn't cry. Because my dad told me, men don't cry. And so I decided, man, I wasn't going to be a crybaby. I wasn't going to cry no more. And then one day I walk 5 miles every day other than Saturday and Sunday. And as I get up in the morning, my wife gets up and she's an aide on the school bus. And she get up and I've been getting up with her and going out and walking. She will leave. I will have my devotion. And then about 6:45, I will start walking. But then one day my eyes started to tear. And I was like, why is this eye watering so much? I need to find out what's going on with my eye, because this eye keeps watering all, and it's only one. And so I decided, man, I need to find out why this is happening. So I started looking on the internet and finding out, why is this eye tearing up? And then the Lord gave me a message out of that. And I said, wow, I'm going to use this message one day. But this is what I found out about crying. Did you know that crying actually is good for you? It lubricates your eyes. It relieves stress. It detoxifies your body. And so crying actually is good for us, amen? And as I was looking and finding out all of these different things, I asked my eye doctor, and he was telling me, yeah, that stuff is true. I was like, wow, who knows? And so one day, as I was walking around, I thought, wow. So it's good to cry. So I don't know where I got that from. I said, by the way, my Savior was a crier. Amen? Now I'm getting some. This is just an introduction for y'all. Now, one day, we were finishing the outside of the building. And I'm developing this message. And so we had some guys that come in, and they were doing the siding on the building and stuff like that, and they weren't unsaved. What I decided to do, Brother Butts, is because it was taking so long for people who make a commitment, hey, we're going to come help you, and then it wouldn't get done. So I decided that what I'm going to do is I'm going to pay folks to do the work. I don't care if it's outside, whoever, we need to get this work done. And so I decided that I was going to hire some guys from the outside to do the siding. And so the guy said, okay, he started on the siding, and then he asked me for a little money. We gave him money. That didn't have a problem. And so me and my wife goes out every Friday. We have it now. She's on a little diet, or a big diet. I don't know how you want to say it. I mean, little diet sounds like you're minimizing it, you know. And so we were headed to dinner on a Friday, and I get a phone call. And we had gave the guy the check, and he said to me, Pastor Garris, I can't cash this check. I said, why? He said, they just won't let me cash the check. I said, well, put him on the phone. Let me talk to him. And so he said, they won't come to the phone. They said, you have to come down here. So I looked at my wife, and I said, wow, I'm going to have to go down to the bank. And but good thing it was on our way to where we were going to eat at. And so I stopped by the bank. Now, this fella's not saved. Now, he's standing outside the bank, and, man, he is furious. I mean, he's upset because you know what he wants to do? He worked all week. He wanted to get part of that money. He wants to go out and have himself a good time. Amen. I'm sure that's what he wanted to do. I know when before I got saved, hey, listen, we couldn't wait for Friday night. Amen. Y'all remember that's a Friday night, just got paid, you know? Want to go out and want to go out living for the weekend. Y'all remember that, you know? She's bopping to it, you know? And so I'm sure this guy wants to go out and have himself a good time, and he can't cash this check. And so I go there, and he said, come in. And I see the lady, and I said, can I talk to you for a minute? I told her who I was, and I said, we need to cash this check for this gentleman. And she looks at the check, and she said, we don't know this signature. And I'm like, huh? She said, no, that signature is not on our person that opens the account. I'm like, we've been using this check, and this is it's a Christian accountant who do all our books and stuff for. We've been using them for over 15 years. Why is it a problem? And she said, well, sir, we just don't know this check. She said, the way things are now, she said, we're not going to be able to cash this check. So then I said, well, I'm the one opened the account up, and I did 9 years ago. And so she looked on it. She said, "Oh yeah, you're on here." She said, "But that check we can't cash." So I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, I got emergency checks. Can I use?" And I had an emergency check. I said, "Can I use this one?" She said, "We never seen that check before." So I'm like, "Huh?" She said, "No, and I've never used it." I'm like, well, okay, well, what? She said, I don't know what you're going to do. So I look back at him, and he's sitting there, and tears is in his eyes. And he's getting ready. Now, I'm a crazy preacher, brother, all right? Sometimes I'm kind of ghetto, all right? And I look back at him, see his tears, and I said to her, he crying like a woman, you know? I don't even know this guy. He crying like a woman. And she said, women ain't the only one that cry. She said, men cry too, you know? And I said, you're right. Then confirmation from God, I got the opportunity in that office to share with them the message that I was going to preach, you know? And so finally what happened is I was able to do a withdrawal and was able to give him his money, amen? But it was just confirmation to me that men do cry, amen? And I got the chance to show that lady, yeah, if the man of men can cry, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, we all can cry. But I'm sure I wasn't the only man was told, hey, men don't cry, amen? We hardcore guys, we don't cry, we take it, we handle it, right, Brother Butts? Your wife makes you cry all the time, don't you, brother? But, and so I said, man, I wanted to look at, how about our Savior? How much did he cry? Look at me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Now, when you get a chance, look at verse 35 with me, if you would. And it says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease amongst the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. First thing we see here, folks, got three tears of compassion. Tears of compassion. You know, we see our Lord as he was going around and finishing. He looks down at the multitude of people and see them scattered abroad like sheep having no shepherd. And it broke his heart. Amen. And I wonder, do we tear up, folks, when we see people lost and undone without God or their son, and we see them with no hope in their life? Do we have tears of compassion? Amen. Do we look at it and say, man, that brother, that sister need help? You know, down there in Camden, down there around around there after exit 4 and stuff like that, if you go down there, you'll see a lot of people with no help. Amen. We see folks that look like they have nothing else to live for, and they just living moment by moment, day by day. The point that I have in asking you is, do you have tears come from passion for that person? See, the Lord saw those people there, and he said, they need help. They need some hope. Amen. And folks, here the problem is, we have the hope, and we need to have tears of compassion that we're able to share and help somebody to know that there's a place and there's some hope for them. And we know that hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I remember one day when I first, God called me to the ministry, and I didn't know where God wanted me to go, and what, I just know I needed to get the gospel out. And I'm sitting in my living room one day watching TV, and it came on about the city of Camden. This is over 25 years ago. And during that time, they had the National Guard was patrolling that city. And that's when God broke my heart, and I said, Lord, if you want me to go to Camden, I'll be willing to go. Tears of compassion. Tears of, I mean, listen, folks, everybody during that time in the city of Camden, I met a guy the other day. I preached his message, and he was one of the, he came up to me, and he was a former cop there. I said, brother, I remember what you're talking about. Just about everybody was on the take. The mayor was a drug dealer there in the city of Camden. And you know what? He got, And matter of fact, he wound up doing 7 years and being. You say, well, how could he become the mayor? Well, he was a Hispanic fella. All Hispanic folks voted for him. All the drug dealers voted for him. And all the drug users voted for him. And he was able to get in. But they had to revamp that whole thing. That's why they got the county police there now instead of city police in the city of Camden. But they had compassion. By the way, the reason why the cities are the way they are is because good, sound, Bible-believing churches have pulled out of the city, and they said, let those folks fend for themselves. But you know what I tell everybody? If you don't reach the inner cities are going to reach you. By the way, that's what's happening now. That's what's happening now. When we said, just lead them folks to themselves. No. It don't stop. When you go down in the city of Camden and you walk around there, you'll see so many kids from this area, from all areas, that's down there. They're what we call stuck. What do you mean stuck, preacher? They get down there, and that's where all the drugs and everything are, and so they don't leave. They don't leave. Tears of compassion. Folks, do we tear up when we see a lost and dying world? Are we willing to do something about it? Jesus said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. His eyes were swelled up with compassion. He said, look at them. They're lost and undone. Without God or son, somebody need to tell them. Folks, let me tell you something. We can't go by day by day and not a witness and see folks get saved and help change lives, make a difference. The reason why people do what they do is because there's an emptiness there and they try to fill it. Tears of compassion. But not only was there tears of compassion, there's also tears of joy. Look at them if you would to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. And we're going to look at one verse there, a verse that we're all familiar with. But before we get there, folks, and if we're going to have tears of compassion, we need to make sure we keep our spiritual eyes open. We need to keep them open. We need to see people for what they are. Spiritually undone. And that's what the Lord did. When he seen them, he said, man, they need help. They need help. Somebody's got to tell them. Whether it's in Camden, whether it's in Magnolia, whether it's in Glendora, wherever it might be, somebody needs to tell these folks. You know, one of the things that I try to do is, and I know folks ain't like me, what I try to do, I try to pass out tracts, make sure I pass out tracts every day. The hardest day for me, believe it or not, to pass out tracts is Sunday. Because we have service Sunday morning, we have Sunday night, or I'm preaching somewhere, and usually when I do, I go straight home. And then I don't come out until going back to church. And so that's the hardest day for me, is Sunday to pass out. But I still try to make sure that I did it. Now, me and my wife was going to Brother Butts. Brother Butts, you with me, Brother Butts? Don't you go sleep on me, Brother Butts, amen? No, stay with me, brother, you know. I ain't sleep when you were singing. That's why we cut the mic off. We ain't want to hear you, brother. Amen. No, I'm just teasing. He wasn't sleeping. I'm just teasing God. But listen, remember, so there, and I'm cleaning up and stuff like that and getting ready to go out to my sister's a little block party that she was having. And I look at it, and I know by the time I get back, it's going to be about 8 o'clock, 8:30. I know I'm going to go in the house. I'm not going to come back out. And so it's about 3:30, and I look at my wife and say, I got to go pass out my tracts. I haven't passed out my tracts yet. Now, I know her. She want to hurry up and get to the cookout, Brother Butts, amen. But I'm like, we're not going anywhere until I go pass out these tracts, amen. And so I went and passed out tracts because I know, listen, maybe it falls in the hand of the right person. And maybe that person gets saved, amen. We have to have tears of compassion for people. We have to have a desire to get the gospel into the hands of people. Not only do we have to have tears of compassion, we also need to have tears of joy, amen. Look at tears of sorrow. Look at John 11. Look at verse 35 with me. It says, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And the Bible says in verse 35, Jesus wept. Now, this is talking about the account of when Lazarus had died. And his sister they're talking about was Mary and Martha. And they were weeping. But we understand that. We said, well, why was Jesus weeping? Was he saddened because Lazarus was dead? We know that that could not have been the case because we knew that he already knew. He told the disciples that he's not dead. He only sleepeth, amen, because we knew he knew what he was going to do. He was going to raise Lazarus up again, amen, because listen, the Bible says the Jews seek after a sign, amen, and Gentiles after knowledge, and so people needed to see a miracle that was going to take place, and so he made sure that for 4 days he lied there, because at this point in time they said, Lord, he stinketh. Not only is he dead, he stink by now, Lord. And the Lord said, hey, listen, don't worry about it. He not stink. He's just sleeping. He's just taking a little siesta, amen. He's going to be fine. And so, well, why was he weeping? Why was he weeping? It was tears of sorrow, not for Lazarus, but for the people that was around. When he seen the conditions of the people, folks, when he seen people, you ever go to a funeral or something like that, and maybe you don't know the person, you're not that close to them, everybody starts to cry? What usually happens? You start to tear up. And you're like, man. But when he looked around and he saw everybody crying and they was hurting and in pain, he wept. He wept, folks. Tears of sorrow. He felt sorry for them. That's why he wept. Well, preacher, how do you know that? Well, let's look at this. Watch this. Go with me, if you would, to verse 33. It says, verse 33, and when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping with her, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. It wasn't about him, Lazarus, being dead. It was about the sorrow, that the hurt that other people have. Do you tear up when you see other people in pain? Do you tear up when you see other people going through what they're going through? And you could be you get there and you hug them and say, I know what you're going through. That's the encouragement that people need. I preached this message when I was telling you about it. I preached it that Sunday, church open, birth and boy. And I'm preaching this message, and I look over there. I didn't know what God wanted me to preach. I had this message and another, and I'm praying, Lord, you have to tell me. Then he settled on this message. All right, you preached that message. And so I preached that message. I'm looking while I'm preaching, and I see a guy over there in the corner, and he's just bawling. And I have no reason why he's crying like that. I'm thinking, well, maybe God has just touched his heart with the message. And afterwards, the preacher said, Brother Garris, our church needed that message. He said, I'm going to tell you about it a little bit later. And then as the service was over with, before I got a chance to talk to the preacher, that fella came up to me, and he thanked me. And I said, what's wrong, brother? He said, let me tell you something. My wife had just died two weeks ago. And he had never cried about it. They had never cried about it. He said, that helped. Remember I said, crying helps relieve stress? It gave him a comfort of relief. He felt so much better that he finally just let it out. And the preacher came up to me and said, brother, and he told me, I said, yeah, he was just telling me. He said, he needed that, our church needed that. We were hurting. You see, folks come in sometimes, and you know what they're going through, and you give them. They say, "Man, brother, I'm," and you hurt, and you weep, and you cry with them. It helps. It helps people. Tears of sorrow. The question I have for you is: do you tear up? Do you have tears of compassion? Do you have tears of sorrow for someone else? Do you have tears of sorrow? Remember. It's crying is good for you. It relieves stress. It detoxifies your body. It lubricates your eyes. It's good for us. Crying is good for us. How about you? Do you tear up? Do you have tears or sorrow for somebody else? That we see when other folks are going through some things in their lives, do we hold on to them? Sometimes all people need to do is somebody to hug them and say, I know what you're going through. By the way, let me tell you this. Don't tell them, I know what you're going through, and you really don't know what they're going through, all right? It's a big difference when you say, I know what you're going through, and they say, oh, you've been there? Well, not quite like that then, you know, but, you know, I don't have an idea what you No. It only helps when you say, man, I know what you're going through. By the way, let me tell you something. Out of your misery comes your ministry. Sometimes God allows us to go through something so we could be a blessing to someone else. So we can say, I know what you're going through. Let me give you a thing, and I've never said this anywhere. Even with the last time I preached, I haven't said this. My wife, maybe 21 years ago, she had a child in her tubes, and the baby died. All right, and we gave it over to the Lord, and didn't think a whole lot about it. But it's been in the last year, right? Less than a year with Veronica, right? A girl that got saved in our church, married a fella in our church, and she hadn't gotten pregnant. And her baby was also in her tomb, and the baby died. And she could not get over it. You know who was able to help her? My wife. You know what she could say? I know. This girl will cry almost every service. You know what my wife said? I know what you're going through. I've been there. It helped her. It helped her. I know what you're going through. Tears of compassion. Tears of sorrow. Our Lord had tears of compassion. He had tears of sorrow. And then how about this? Tears of joy. Go with me with the Psalms 126. And look at verse 1. Psalms 126, verse, start with verse 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. Then said they amongst the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us. Whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth in weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Tears of joy. I don't know about you folks, but you ever talk about tears of joy? If you ever led somebody to the Lord and then see them grow in grace, how, man, that, how tears of joy, man, how you get happy. You go to a wedding and people get married, you see the joy that they have, and man, and then you start to tear and cry. Tears of joy. You know, it kind of reminds me of that. Here the Bible says, weeping, bearing precious, and with doubtless coming, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him, crying. Lord, crying, bringing the sheep, bringing those believers with him. And man, I remember the time well, let me tell you this story first. And now I went from being a crybaby to a boy that never cries to a crybaby. Now, I got three grandkids, all right? And so one day I'm sitting and I'm reading my Bible, and tears start to flow down my face. And my granddaughter comes up to me, brother, and she says, G-Pop, why are you crying? Now, I told y'all the story about G-Pop, right? Huh? Last time? You remember that last time, all right? Brother Matt don't remember. And I see him at least four times a year. You remember, brother? You don't remember either. You don't remember either. So I got to tell her. You remember? I know you don't remember, right? Because it's your first time. So you remember though, right, brother? Y'all don't be listening. Y'all don't. All right, I'm going to tell y'all the story real quick before I finish my point, all right? Now, I used to be called Pop-Pop, all right? Because most all grandpops is Pop-Pop, all right? And so, but when your kid, when your little grandkids is 3 and 4 years old or whatever the case may be, they all sound alike, all right? And I'm in the supermarket, ShopRite in particular, and my kids live in the next town over. We live in Mount Ephraim. They live in Gloucester. And I hear these kids in the store, pop, 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 pop. So I'm like, man, that sound like my grandkids. So I turn around. That wasn't my grandkids. So, I'm furious now, Brother Matt. So I go home and I told my wife, I'm changing my name. She said, what do you mean you're changing my name? I'm not going to be called Pop-Pop no more. She said, well, what are you changing? I said, I'm going to be G-Pop. Now, my oldest, he's now 13. At that time, he was probably about 8. My granddaughter, she's now going to be 10. She was probably about 5 at that time. My youngest is Zion. He's 8. He's going to be 9. He was probably around 4. And so she said, those kids are never, ever going to call you change. They got too used to calling you Pop-Pop. I said, oh, yes, they will. So I got them, and I set all 3 of them down. Just the 4 of us. I sent them all down. I said, guys, I'm changing my name. And they said, you are? I said, yeah, for now on, don't call me Pop-Pop. I said, for now on, my name is G-Pop. And so the middle one, Ayana, she looks at the oldest one, Jaden, and she looks at him. She said, Jaden? He said, what? What does G-Pop mean? He says, I don't know. Gangsta Pop, you know? So I said, that's it. That's it, you know. That's it. So they come, them, their friends, everybody now call me G-Pop, amen. And that fit, amen, because I used to be a gangster, amen. So it doesn't mean grandpop, all right? It means gangster, all right? So hey, listen, ever since that day, they don't call me Pop-Pop. G-Pop. All their friends, everybody calls me G-Pop. And so I'm sitting there reading my Bible and I'm crying. And my granddaughter comes up to me and she says, G-Pop, why are you crying? G-Pop, you're a crybaby. That's all you ever do is cry. I said, I know. Because no matter what goes on, man, I'm crying. I remember one time, I can't remember where it was. I know we was at Emmanuel, and I look up, the door is open. I looked up, and I'm getting ready to preach, and I looked up, and my sister walks in, and then my niece walks in, and my nephew walks in, and another sister walk in, and her husband walk in, and all of them starting to walk in, and men who I've been witnessing to and trying to get to come to church, man, and they want, and then I'm sitting there, and I'm looking, and I'm just tears just rolling down my face, tears of joy to see my family come in the church. How excited it is when you get see your loved one come to know Christ. And how about when they go and they get baptized and they start growing in the Lord? Tears of joy. It's exciting. Hey, listen, do you tear up? I hope you do. It's good for us, amen? It detoxifies your body. It relieves stress. Amen. It lubricates your eyes. Crying is good for us. Man, I wish somebody had told me years ago I needed to cry. I might have got taller, brother. Man. The question I have for you this morning, Millstone, is do you tear up? I hope you do. Our Savior, who was a man amongst men, he cried. He had compassion for people. He had sorrow for people. He had joy to see people. Hey, listen, remember the Bible talks about, I was just reading it. Hey, listen, he gets excited when they get excited in heaven when one soul comes to know Christ. Joy. He will go forth weeping, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. How about you this morning? Do you tear up? I hope you do. I hope you do. We all should have tears of compassion. We all should have tears of joy. And we all should have tears of sorrow for someone else. People need to know that we feel a pain. They need to know we understand what they're going through and we're there for them. Sometimes that's all the people got. How about you? Do you tear up? The Lord helped me to understand that. And I look forward now, sister, crying a little bit. Amen. Gangster and all, brother. If my Savior can cry, and he's a man amongst men, how much more should we be able to do that? Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you and love you for your goodness. Thank you for salvation that's in Christ Jesus. And Lord God, we ask and pray that you might have your will and way in this rest of the service. We thank you for all that you're going to do. In the wonderful name of Christ, we ask and do pray these things. Amen, brother.